Okay. God bless you, everyone. Today I am 75 years young. And so, what a blessing to be able to share the word and be in this beautiful home of Alan Shati's. And hello to everybody on the telephone line as well. So, last Wednesday at Linfelt Fellowship, a lot of you shared a verse that was blessing your heart and that you try to live by. And so I wanted to share my verse because I didn't do it that time. And mine is in Romans 12:12. And the King James Version, it says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and instant in prayer. And all three of these give me peace and joy and cover so many situations. And as the song says, where is that joy? It's down in my heart. Down in my heart. And we heard some of heart words in the manifestations too, if you like. Listening. So God is into that as well. In Psalms 33:21, you want to read that one?
Sure. This is the NLT. It says, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name.
Amen. So the title of my sharing, I went back and forth with different things, but I'm going to call it Taking a Look at the Heart. And the heart in Spanish is corazón. Corazón.
Yes.
Okay, so one of the first questions I had, okay, does God have a heart? Go to Genesis chapter 6. In verse 6, now this is a figure of speech, but it says, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. So even God has a broken heart sometimes. We all have broken hearts sometimes. So he knows what it's all about. And do you have the NLT?
Yes, the NLT says, so the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart.
And the reason was because there was so much evil around there, and evil is still here today. So... But this reminds me, if you look at Genesis 6:8, there's always something, there's always hope. God always gives us hope. So in verse number 8, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that was the beginning of the hope that God has given us in what he had planned out. So that reminds me again that God always makes a way back to his heart. Sandy and I were in a group that we studied, or we looked at, we told the story of Job. And Job suffered a lot. He suffered, lost everything, lost his home, and he even had diseases put on him. Go to Job 42, verse 10. So that's Job 42:10. I'm cheating because I have him marked here.
That's okay.
So I hope you can get there.
Right before Solomon's.
There you go, right before Psalms. And Psalms is in the middle of your Bible, so easy to find it. So in verse 10 it says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends." I think that's really a neat principle. I don't think I noticed that so much before, but his friends were trying to comfort him in the story, if you read it, and they turned out to be miserable comforters. But Job always looked to God, and he even prayed for his friends when he was going through all this stuff. And also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. I think you have that one.
Yeah. When Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before.
Amen. So now go back to Genesis chapter 8. And we'll see what went on there. Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. 20 and 21, I'm going to read both of those. Okay, where is it down here? Verse 20. "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar." So as we learned earlier, Noah found grace in the Lord's sight, and he worshiped the Lord. In verse 21, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing, everything living as I have done." You have that one?
Yep. "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and there he sacrificed as burnt offerings
the animals and birds that had been approved for that purpose. And the Lord was pleased with the aroma of the sacrifice and said to himself, 'I will never again curse the ground because of the human race, even though everything they think or imagine is bent toward evil. From childhood, I will never again destroy all the living things.'"
Yeah, praise God. Okay, so the story continues, of course, the whole Bible. And the plan eventually leads to who? Jesus Christ. So what does Jesus Christ say about his heart? Go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 11, and verse 29, Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls."
"Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls."
Amen. We can all use that. So how does Jesus affect other people's hearts? Go to Luke. This is one of my favorites. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 24. So it's like the last chapter in Luke, verse 32, is these glasses, I don't know. And this is about two gentlemen, and they were on the road to Emmaus. And they said one to another, and this is Jesus was talking to them and sharing things with them. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go to Psalm 139. Psalms is like in the middle of your Bible. So it's Psalm 139. So the heart, even in the manifestation, we heard something about God knows us completely, inside and out. So the heart is both physical and mental. And would you read 139:14?
14.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Just thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it.
So the physical heart is amazing. I'm going to tell you five facts about the physical heart. Number one, the heart is the size of your fist. So if you take your fist and close it, it's really not that big. And which is kind of amazing to me. My cousin Lisa just had a valve replaced in her heart. It's got to be very delicate surgery. I mean, you know, that's as big as it is. And it's a muscular, it has muscles to it. It's a muscular organ designed to work continually and efficiently over a lifetime. Where is it located? It's located, number three, it's located left of your breastbone. So when we do the Pledge of Allegiance, we put our hands over our hearts, because that's where your heart is. Number four, its beats are controlled by an electrical discharge.
Yep.
And this makes me funny. This is a funny thing I think about. I don't know how many of you still have radios, but I have a radio, and sometimes when I turn it on to a certain station, it's like really, really scratchy, and I can't tune it in. But if I go stand next to it, it tunes in. So I don't know if that has something to do with the electric in my heart. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I not speaking loud enough? Okay, thank you, Sally.
You're electric.
It happened to me, too. I had a radio. I'm old enough to have a radio.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. But I was thinking, you know, I don't know, maybe this is a stretch, but the electricity could be like, you know, the love of God in our hearts, and we get close to people and tune them into God.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, number five, the heart beats 60 to 100 times a minute, or 100,000 times a day.
Yeah.
So you can measure a heart beat with one of these.
Stethoscope.
It's called. Oh, I'm holding up a stethoscope for those of you who can't see me. And the word stethoscope, the first word stetha is chest, and the end is scope, which means to look at. So I think Barney yesterday shared a verse in Philippians 3:14 that was, I press toward the mark. And the word mark is the word scope, mm-hmm. to look at. Yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. There are 800 verses in the Bible, old. Well, I didn't count all of them. I just took my, I said, okay, there's 10 here. You know, and went through the concordance. And I said, well, gosh, there's about 800 verses in the Old Testament and New Testament. So I'm going to pass this around, and I think Al put some pens somewhere.
Yes, right.
So if you forgot a birthday gift for me, I want you right now.
The Judy scope.
Yeah. So you can write in there a verse that you know has the word heart in it.
Aww.
Or something that blessed your heart, you know, a short thing that blessed your heart. So you can do that while I'm finishing the teaching. So the next thing I want to share is about E.W. Bullinger. He was an Anglican clergy and scholar. He was from 1837 to 1913. And he wrote definitions of the Greek words in the New Testament. So I'm going to share part of his definition of the Greek word cardia, which is the word heart, or corazon. And is that how you say it?
Yes,
corazon. Corazon. And this definition he gives is applies to almost every single verse in the New Testament. I'm losing my voice here. The organ in the body, and this is the definition. The organ in the body, which is the seat of life, which chiefly and finally participates in all its movements. It is also the seat and center of man's personal life. And I want to share another verse, keeping that in mind, which is on the screen there. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And I think you have it.
Yeah, it's similar. It's if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved.
Yeah, so very similar. So, Heavenly Father, I just want to pray right now for our hearts, our physical hearts, our mental hearts, and that you are constantly looking out for us, that you enjoy our company, and you want our hearts to keep beating and beating as long as possible. I don't know if we're going to have hearts in the next life or anything, but we're so thankful for our hearts and how you designed them, how they give us life physically, how we can use our hearts to remember you, to make decisions according to your word, and that we just love you so much in everything that you've done for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.